This is Jordan Seculo, a big victory for the Trump administration. To avoid tariffs from the United States, Mexico agrees to send 6,000 National Guard troops to its southern border and makes even more promises if that doesn't work to stem the flow of illegal immigration.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulo Live.
The president put a charge in this whole dialogue with Mexico, with the tariff threat, brought them to the table. This is the first time we've heard anything like this kind of number of law enforcement being deployed in Mexico to address migration.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
The president's willingness to use tariffs, even though I'm not a big supporter of tariffs, he is, and his willingness to use that probably helped produce a result. I hope we don't have to go back to that as an issue again with Mexico.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulo.
It is the tale of two mainstream media outlets reporting and how they will spin the reporting of what is truly a major victory for the Trump administration. As you heard there, that was Senator Roy Blunt, who said he's not a big fan of tariffs. Remember, a lot of Republicans in the U.S. Senate were thinking about the idea of trying to block the president if he tried to put tariffs on goods from Mexico that would start at 5% and increase up to 25% if Mexico did not take further steps to secure its own southern border. Because remember, most of these illegal immigrants are flowing through other countries outside of Mexico, coming into Mexico, and then up through Mexico to the U.S. border. So the Washington Post headline is, in standoff with Mexico, Trump's controversial tactics seem to pay off, as we've seen time and time again. But when you go to the New York Times, a very different spin. Mexico agreed to take border actions month before Trump announced tariff deal. Now, if you actually read that New York Times article, what you will see is, of course, there were discussions with Mexican officials months ago, but nothing like the ones including 6,000 National Guard troops from Mexico. In fact, the Mexican president, as the Washington Post points out, Andre Manuel Lopez Obrador, actually ran on a campaign saying, we're not going to use Mexican resources to secure the U.S. border. Well, now he's agreed to deploy 6,000 National Guard forces from Mexico into southern Mexico to make it more difficult for smugglers to continue transporting groups of Central American migrants on buses with little interference from Mexican authorities. And there's more to this. There's even more of a victory here. This is the Wall Street Journal. This just broke right before we went on air. That because of Mexico's border pact with the U.S., there is now an opportunity, if these measures do not work, so if these new measures don't work to stem the flow of illegal immigration coming from what is really outside of Mexico on their southern border and then up through Mexico to our southern border, that the foreign minister of Mexico says that Mexico will consider implementing a regional framework for asylum seekers inside Mexico, that Mexico would take the lead there on the asylum issue as well, which would be a potential huge load lifted from the U.S. This was not on the table but for the tariffs being threatened by President Trump. And I think when you look time and time again, look at what happened in Turkey with Pastor Brunson. When he said he would use tariffs if Brunson wasn't released in a matter of certain time, he wasn't. Two officials get tariffs put on them. Ultimately, Pastor Brunson gets released before tariffs go into the onto the entire Turkish economy. So while it may take more time when you're dealing with a superpower like China, with Mexico, it upped. What it did was it significantly upped what Mexico was willing to do. And as the president tweeted already, if they don't follow through with this, he's ready to issue those tariffs. So not taking anything for granted from Mexico on these promises, but they have signed a deal to do this. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Do you agree with the strategy of this president, which gets criticized by the right and the left, on using tariffs and the threat of tariffs to get countries to do what's in the interest, best interest of both, but especially in the interest of the United States? Do you agree with this new strategy of the Trump administration, their foreign policy, the threat and use of tariffs? Give us a call. I want your thoughts about that. 1-800-684-3110. Republicans disagree sometimes. So 1-800-684-3110. Give us a call. We'll be right back.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Again, it's a big win for the Trump administration and for border security. And this is how the media is reporting it different ways. The Washington Post sounds pretty reasonable in their headline. In a standoff with Mexico, Trump's controversial tactics seem to pay off. And that's all the administration is saying, because the Wall Street Journal is also reporting that the tariffs not being imposed, the foreign minister of Mexico says that if these measures, like the 6,000 National Guard troops that will be deployed on Mexico's southern border, if they fail to stem migrant flow from Mexico into Mexico and then into the U.S., Mexico itself will consider implementing its own regional framework for asylum seekers. That is huge. That is something Mexico has been opposed to. Their president, Mexico's current president, ran on not doing anything to help the U.S. secure its own border, and now has agreed to send 6,000 of his own U.S. National Guard, Mexican National Guard troops, to the Mexican southern border to protect to stop the flow of illegal immigrants into Mexico from the south and then to the U.S. southern border. It is a president, who ran on a campaign, this president from Mexico, that he would not do this. Now, it's interesting to point out that when you move forward, though, and you look at, so that's what the president Obrador of Mexico finally has agreed to do, amongst other measures as well. You move on to the New York Times, and they've got two interesting spins. One, Mexico agreed to take border actions months before Trump announced tariff deal. All they agreed to, when you read the article, they agreed to nothing, Than. They were just discussing possible actions. There was no movement being taken. The numbers were much smaller. We have a soundbite, actually. This is from the acting Homeland Security Secretary. Let's play it, because he talks about how small the numbers were when they were having these initial discussions in comparison to the 6,000 Mexican National Guard troops that are now going to be deployed on Mexico's southern border. Take a listen.
The president put a charge in this whole dialogue with Mexico, with the tariff threat, brought them to the table. This is the first time we've heard anything like this kind of number of law enforcement being deployed in Mexico to address migration.
First time ever. So while there may have been months of discussions, Than, the truth is that the tariff threat, one, as the article does acknowledge, increased rapidly how quickly this is occurring now from Mexico, and two, increased the number of Mexican resources, including National Guard troops, that are going to be available to stem this problem.
Until now, Jordan, they were empty promises. I mean, this was a negotiating tactic on behalf of the Mexican government that's dated back for decades, quite frankly. It's promise a bunch of things in the future, but do nothing. It's delay, delay, delay. And again, I come back to that headline that you mentioned from the New York Times. I mean, they're so desperate to attack the president and the administration's actions here that even in their headline, Jordan, they give away the game. They concede that the president got what he was after. It says that this is something that Mexico had agreed to long before but had never implemented. Jordan, the harm was in the delay of the implementation. And if you were going to delay it another 6 months, even if for some magical reason you believe that Mexico was going to follow through at that point, remember, 100,000 migrants coming across that border each and every month. The harm was in the delay. The very thing the president was after was a speed up of the promises that the Mexican government had been promising and not delivering. So even the New York Times, Jordan, trying desperately to attack the president, they admitted that he won this negotiation.
I mean, the president is correct that after all these negotiations of months, he makes the tariff threat, and within 2 days, you've got this massive new deal for Mexico, a deal which the Mexican president campaigned on saying he would never do something like this. But with the tariff threat, you've got the deal. It took 2 days instead of months because the months of negotiations were not producing fruits. They were producing more talk, 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 while, as Stan said, you've got thousands upon thousands of people entering our country illegally, creating this crisis on our border. Again, I just think it's a very important to understand when you are talking about this, that this is about the crisis at our border and doing what's best. My question for all of you today, and we want to take your calls on this, 1-800-684-3110, is, one, how big of a victory do you believe this is for the Trump administration? And two, do you support the use of the threat or even the use of tariffs to further the U.S. Goals, whether it is our own security goals, so national security like our southern border, or foreign policy goals as well? Do you support that? Give us a call at 1-800-684-3110, because it is something that is not brand new, but the way that the President Trump utilizes it is very bold, very upfront, and he does it as President of the United States, not through number twos and number threes who kind of back channel that kind of threat. He puts it right out there in the open. So take your calls on that, 1-800-684-3110. Now, this was another New York Times headline by Peter Baker. A drama of Trump's own making ends with a familiar hero. Again, after I thought the New York Times and most of them had agreed that there was a crisis at the border, that these numbers, it was a humanitarian crisis that we all realize as Americans could not go on without any change. They are trying to make it out as if President Trump just made up this drama so that he could make himself the hero. But take a listen to the acting Homeland Security Secretary, Kevin McAleenan, about these surges of just children at the southern border. Take a listen, Byte 26.
We had two prior surges of families and children at the border, 2014 and 2016. At that time, President Obama called it a humanitarian crisis. In the last 2 months alone, we have more than doubled those two full years of crisis.
Do you understand that? I mean, Stan, think about those numbers. Two full years, doubled those two full years in the last 2 months. And Obama was willing to call what happened in 2014 and 2016 a crisis. And the New York Times is trying to say this is a drama of Trump's own making so he can become a hero. It's disgusting.
So if the threshold in the Obama administration, Jordan, was met in 2014 and 2016, and we have more than doubled those 2 years in the last 2 months alone, then this is a crisis of what, 24 times for the proportion that President Obama declared? But let me just put a little bit of color on that crisis so that people understand this, Jordan. The crisis centers around trafficking of children. They call it recycling children, where a child comes across the border with either a fake family or a drug cartel or some other nefarious grouping with the purpose of being able to stay in the United States. That child, very often, Jordan, is not the beneficiary of staying in the United States. They are recycled. They are sent back across the border to come over with another group so that group can stay in the United States. Look, it is time for Washington, D.C., Jordan, to take this problem seriously. Instead, they're using the New York Times, they're using the media apparatus to have petty fights with the president. Look, you can think whatever you want about the president or his policies, but the bottom line is there is a fundamental obligation for the elected officials in Washington, D.C., to take this problem seriously. And to this point, they don't. Jordan, I know we're going to get into this in just a little bit, but we've mainly talked about that first portion of the solution here, where Mexico is agreeing to send 6,000 National Guard to its southern border. That goes hand in hand with now the expanded Remain in Mexico policy, where those who do come and claim asylum, they can have those claims adjudicated, Jordan, but they're going to have to stay in Mexico while that happens. The reduced flow combined with that expanded program, I think that's a big part of this solution.
I want to go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. Kane, call in from Texas on line 6. Kane, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thanks, guys. I think I would hesitate to call it a victory for a president. I would say this is a very good start. Obviously, Mexico, yeah, came back and, said, hey, we'll do some things. But until I started seeing that border shut down, these people stopped getting across and being bussed in, that's when I'll call it a victory.
I understand. I think it's a diplomatic victory to get to this step, because he was dealing with a Mexican president, Kane, who had actually, his campaign in Mexico was, and he got elected on it, was, we're not going to do anything to help the U.S. secure its southern border. And now, because of the threat of tariffs, has agreed to, in writing, send, and this is just one part of it, but utilizing 6,000 of his own National Guard troops to secure Mexico's much smaller southern border. It borders more countries, but it's a much smaller border to secure because of the landscape and the surrounding areas and knowing where the flows are from. So it is a diplomatic victory, but I do understand what you're saying. The bigger victory, and the president understands that as well, it's why the tariff threat is still on the table, is that this goes into action. Kane?
I like all that. I also would even add, if these tariffs, maybe even add on the threat of cutting foreign aid, hit them twice.
Yeah, well, so far it didn't take that. It took the tariff issue of 5%, which could have gone up to 25%, but it just took the idea of a 5% tariff going into force. And so it didn't take the threat of foreign aid. And the president has said, even Mexico has said, if this doesn't work, we're going to also try some other plans, including a framework for an asylum system within the region. So it's not all within the U.S., this asylum claim system. So this is a big deal, folks. I mean, it is a big diplomatic victory. Yes, it has to go into action, but even Mexico is agreeing to further potential steps if this initial major action doesn't accomplish its goal of stemming the tide of this illegal immigration from Central America coming through Mexico into the U.S. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Well, there's some breaking news. The House Democrats in the Judiciary Committee are not going to be voting to hold Bill Barr in contempt because he's agreed to hand over some documents they wanted in relation to the Mueller investigation. Again, I don't think that those documents are going to shed some great new light on anything. I think they had to go through the right process before they were released to Congress so that information that would not be illegal for the Department of Justice to hand over to the House of Representatives because it was an investigation. And it went through that process. He moved forward. And guess what? Tough-talking Nadler not going to move forward on contempt with Bill Barr. So just some breaking news on that front that I did want to cover. I also want to let you know that, Than, in the House of Representatives, they're going to be voting to try and limit the president's ability to continue to build the wall in yet another way. So they filed the lawsuit. They lost that in Washington, D.C. We're actually filing the appeal to the Ninth Circuit out of the case out of California on the temporary injunction on the funds to build the wall. We're filing in that case tonight. That's kind of the companion case to the one in D.C. where Trump administration won. So that's being appealed to the D.C. Court of Appeals. Now, this other case where the Trump administration lost on the funding issue, we're involved in both. We're filing. You can sign the briefs at aclj.org. And we're filing now to the Ninth Circuit. But the House tonight is voting to limit the president's use of funds to continue to do any kind of border security or barriers.
Yeah, that's right, Jordan. This actually goes back to Kane's call from the last segment of the broadcast. There's so much that Congress could be doing to help. You know, they could authorize more judges. They could reform the asylum process. They could fund some of the wall. But instead, Jordan, what they are doing is moving to block the president's transfer of authority on any new funds out of the Department of Defense. Remember, that's what the president is doing with his national emergency declaration and then also some transfers that did not require the national emergency. Interestingly enough, Jordan, you mentioned that D.C. case. One of the things that the judge said in that D.C. case is that Congress has its own remedy. If they don't want to allow transfer authority, they don't have to. They can pull it back. The House is going to try to do that tonight. So on one hand, Jordan, they're working against the president every step of the way. But I actually think they undermined their legal argument in the existing case because they are proving tonight, Jordan, that exactly like the judge said, they have their own remedy. The interesting, this one will never get over the line because it's right. Not going to pass the Senate, but it will undermine their legal argument in court.
Of course, I think that their argument in the D.C. court system that will be fast-tracked to the Supreme Court is very difficult because of what Than just said. They keep coming up with legislative remedies. Their remedies might fail because they can't get bipartisan support. It's not the court's job to come in and fix that for the House Democrats. We're also filing, just so you know how active we are in court right now, tonight the ACLJ filing against Planned Parenthood in a Title X funding case. So we've got the case out of the funding for the border barrier out of California. That's to the Ninth Circuit. We're filing there. We're filing on a Planned Parenthood Title X issue. At ACLJ, and on this broadcast show, we talk about a lot of issues, but we're working on all these issues. You know, it's not just us here on a radio broadcast. We've got a team of attorneys, team of staff who work on the issues. You can get involved in them as well by signing briefs at aclj.org. If it's legislation, you can sign on to petitions at aclj.org. So we never just talk about issues here on the broadcast. We are involved in the issues that we discuss and that we analyze. So when we talk about it, you know, we live it, and we also, again, show how committed we are to the issue by putting our resources, because of our donors, people like you who support the work of the ACLJ by making financial contributions, because of you, we're able to take the things we discuss here on the broadcast and go into action and use our experts to go into court when necessary, to go into that legislative affairs route and government affairs route when necessary as well, and utilize our millions of members with petitions and by signing briefs as well, all at aclj.org. It's why we don't just talk about the issues. We work on them here at the American Center for Law and Justice. Back to the phones we go on this big victory by the Trump administration, getting Mexico agreed to do more to secure their southern border, which is where most of these migrants are now coming from. I mean, take a listen. This is, again, the acting Secretary of Homeland Security just this weekend talking about a visit he made to Guatemala, one of those Central American countries that Mexico's got to secure its border with, some of these new 6,000 National Guard troops, because they're coming not to stay in Mexico, but to get to the U.S. Take a listen, Byte 27.
When I was in Guatemala last week, a man came up to me and said, hey, we know that bringing a child is a passport for migration to the United States. The smugglers are advertising it. This flow is not going to stop without coordinated efforts with Mexico, but also we still need Congress to act. We still need help both on the fundamental legal loopholes in the framework, but also on funding to manage this situation that you heard about from CBP.
And that's the biggest issue, is that you've got, again, people saying, listen, we know if we bring children, this is the way we can cut through the system. And Than, instead of discussing more ways so if Mexico agrees to do this, to make sure we're ready on our side of the border, as prepared as possible, the House totally ignoring its duties there.
Yeah. Meanwhile, those recycling of children continue. I mean, Jordan, it's a real crisis that impacts real children at the border. Just real quickly, the two-pronged approach to this inside the president's announcement, I think people really need to pay attention to this, because obviously that first step is sending the 6,000 to the Guatemalan border, which will reduce the flow of migrants across the U.S. border. But then, Jordan, coupled with that reduced flow, this expansion of the MPP program, which is the Migration Protection Protocols, that means that those people who are claiming asylum can stay in Mexico while that adjudication is finished. So those two things really do work together. But Jordan, again, this is not due in any part to help from Congress. It's mainly the House Democrats that are standing in the way on this, but all of the efforts that could be done legislatively, they continue to stonewall. These two portions are a start to that process. Jordan, eventually Congress is going to have to come to the game and help the president fix this problem, though.
Let's go to Anthony in Georgia on line three. Anthony, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Hello, sir. Yes, I'd like to applaud President Trump for finally taking, say, matters into his own hands, not depending on a useless Congress. Also, I have a second question, sir, if possible.
Sure.
Could you tell us, the listeners, if there are any Republicans that would be voting with the Democrats tonight against President Trump?
You know, Than, on this legislation to prevent the president from utilizing the funds to build a border barrier, any Republicans in the House that would potentially join the Democrats?
So the timeline on this is just coming out of House Armed Services Committee. It's in Adam Schiff's chairman's mark. So a vote in the full House, the timing on that portion of it, Jordan, is a little off. I don't know. I don't think there is going to be members of the Republican conference that will ultimately vote with Democrats on that issue. However, it kind of depends on how this package comes together. There might be Republicans' concerns with other portions of the bill. And I think if Republicans are going to vote against the whole package, they need to come out and say that they're problem with it, that one of their problems with it is Adam Smith's language on that prohibition. It can get messy in there, Jordan, but we're going to make sure we follow that process and explain it to people as it goes along.
So there we go, Anthony. Just keep listening. Stay with us on the broadcast throughout as this moves forward through Congress, so that you stay updated and figure out where your member of Congress, because it's talking about the House, ends up voting if you do have one of those Republican members that you question about. Second half hour coming up. That went by very quick. We've got a lot of phone calls to take. We've got a couple lines open just because we took a couple calls. So if you want to talk to us on the air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. A huge victory for President Trump diplomatically using the threat of tariffs. And do you agree with this kind of new foreign policy? It's a much tougher approach. And instead of doing it behind closed doors and through back channels, the president doing it publicly, even through Twitter and in the media. You agree? 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Holding in my hands for people, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live for our second half hour. The Department of State press release, the U.S.-Mexico joint declaration signed. It includes a Mexican enforcement surge that will include 6,000 Mexican National Guard troops on Mexico's southern border to prevent migrants which the majority coming to our border right now illegally are not coming. They're not Mexicans. They are Central Americans coming through Mexico first, then up through Mexico to our southern border in the United States. So now Mexico has agreed to that. It's a huge agreement, it's moving very quickly. It wasn't before, of course, because of the threat of tariffs that the president made. Like the president said, after 2 days of threats to tariffs, you get a signed deal. After months of negotiating about it, talking about it, and you get a signed deal with a whole lot more assets being used by Mexico. And remember, this was a Mexican government whose president ran on a campaign and was elected on a campaign of saying, we're not going to use our resources to help the United States secure its border. So a big change out of Mexico with a 5%, with a tariff threat of 5%. It goes even further. This just broke this morning because Mexico's foreign minister said that if these measures fail, which are very tough measures, if they fail to stem the migrant flow, Mexico is going to consider implementing a regional framework for asylum seekers. Stan, that's also a huge deal for Mexico to even acknowledge that they would consider, if they can't do this through their National Guard and through their assets on the ground, that they would consider the bureaucratic step of setting up a regional asylum system.
Yeah, and just reading the tea leaves, Jordan, here, I think there's a couple of things at play here. I think bureaucratically they would move to set up the regional system for claiming asylum, but I think both the comments by the Mexican foreign minister and President Trump indicate that if this does not adequately stem the tide, I think there's going to be a vote in the Mexican legislature for making sure that asylum seekers actually claim asylum in the first safe country that they're in, which in most of these cases would be Mexico. Jordan, I think that's what the president is alluding to. I think that's what the foreign minister is alluding to. So I see sort of two prongs on that asylum front. One is that bureaucratic regional system. The second would take a vote inside the Mexican legislature. But look, if they would do that, if they would take a vote to make it clear that anyone seeking asylum must claim it when they pass through Mexico, that victory would be enormous.
Dave on Periscope wrote in, I wholeheartedly agree with President Trump here. Hit them where it hurts, or at least threaten to hit them where it hurts. Their wallets. Tina on Facebook, if tariff threats keep us safe, so be it. Let's go right to the phones. 1-800-684-3110 if you want to talk to us on the air. That's 1-800-684-3110. Pat in California, online too. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi, Jordan. Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks, Pat.
I am a Republican. I'm also a Christian. Yep. I did not vote for President Trump mm-hmm. in the primaries because I didn't take him seriously.
Understand.
I did vote for him in the end.
Yep.
I have grown to love the man.
Yep.
When I read the Old Testament, to me, he's one of our good kings. He's doing all the right things. And where this thing with Mexico is concerned, I suspect our parenting styles are very similar. When the children won't cooperate, you figure out how to motivate them. That's it.
Yeah, I mean, and you know what was happening here, Pat? I think you were like a lot of our Christian audience probably weren't likely early Trump supporters. You know, you're a Republican voter, likely Republican voter, involved in politics like most of our listeners are. So you get involved in the primary process. You may have not voted for him in the primary. And I think there were a lot of people like that. Ultimately, you voted for him in the general election, didn't necessarily have a yard sign or a bumper sticker on your car or get involved in the grassroots effort. But as you said, have grown to love this president because he has followed through with the promises that he has made on both religious liberty issues, on issues like securing our border, on economic issues, on foreign policy issues, like recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel, recognizing the Golan Heights as part of the Jewish state of Israel. I mean, defeating ISIS territorially, so where there is effectively no more caliphate. This is, again, a president who has accomplished so much that he promised. And I think a lot of people have taken the same route you have, Pat, where they have grown to love this president. Of course, he's got opponents now coming up through the Democrat primary process. They don't love him. They're going to try to change your mind. We'll talk about that when we come back on Jay Sekulow Live.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
So, we talked about, again, what I believe is a big victory. As the president said, we fully signed and documented another very important part of the immigration and security deal with Mexico, one that the U.S. has been asking about getting for many years. It's being revealed. Mexico's legislative body has to vote on it. The U.S. does not anticipate a problem with the vote. But if there is any reason the approval is not forthcoming, that's on that, like, the 6,000 new Mexican National Guard troops to the Mexican southern border. The U.S. is ready, in the president's words, to, quote, tariffs will be reinstated. So he's not taking that threat off the table until Mexico completely follows through on what is a diplomatic victory. Now Mexico's got to handle it domestically and then see if it works. And Mexico's even gone a step further and said if these steps aren't enough to stem the flow, to stop the crisis, that they will even consider, that from their own foreign minister said this, implementing a regional framework for asylum seekers, something the Trump administration has been seeking from Mexico. So they've now moved to that next step as well, saying, let us try this with our troops and trying to stem the flow of illegal immigration from our southern border, from Mexico's southern border, with our troops. If we can't do that, we will consider the creation of a regional asylum process and framework. And that would be, again, another major step forward if it's necessary. We will see if it's necessary and if Mexico continues to follow through. I want to go to Beto O'Rourke because this is now, what he did was he read a New York Times headline, probably didn't read the whole story. And I will tell, you know, Beto, before you head into presidential debates, do more than just read headlines. Because oftentimes headlines are written to get you to read the story, and then when you read the story, you realize the headline may be a little bit misleading, to say the least. And there may have been some facts in there that you missed. But take a listen. He had this to say about the president's deal with Mexico, averting having to use tariffs.
I think the president has completely overblown what he purports to have achieved. By and large, the president achieved nothing except to jeopardize the most important trading relationship that the United States of America has.
Okay, so we didn't jeopardize the trading relationship because there's no tariffs. Second, I mean, to say he's overblown, he achieved nothing. We've got Mexico now agreeing to use 6,000 of their own National Guard to secure their own southern border so that people don't use that southern border to enter into Mexico, not to stay in Mexico, but to come to the U.S., something the Mexican president, Beto O'Rourke, should realize, being a former Texas congressman, should realize the current Mexican president campaigned on never doing for the United States, never helping the U.S. secure its border. Right. And now Mexico is saying we will use 6,000 of our own National Guard troops to do just that. That is a huge victory for the president. That is achieving something. And to say that he achieved nothing, and that's what you heard from Beto O'Rourke, tells you how Beto O'Rourke isn't reading past the headlines.
Yes, uninformed political speak, basically. And you know, what Mexico is doing is what they should have done a long time ago. You know, this is not, it's not really that complicated to take some, you know, real concrete actions. And they have an incentive to do this, Jordan. We have an almost 2,000-mile border with Mexico, but we are the world's largest economy. 80% of all Mexican goods that are exported come to the United States. We import from Mexico $350 billion of Mexican goods every year. So it behooves the Mexican legislature to act on this, and I really believe they will. But again, it's not difficult. 6,000 troops on the border. Sometimes we think of those crossing from what's called the Northern Triangle, Guatemala and what have you, into southern Mexico as, you know, coming under the cover of darkness and through caves and tunnels. They're not. They're walking across. And the human traffickers down there who are smuggling people to the United States, many of them actually charter buses. You see them on the news all the time.
I read that today. Yeah, they come through on buses.
Yeah, how difficult is it for the Mexican federal police to stop a charter bus and to turn them around? And so this is not difficult at all. And I think the president is to be applauded for this. And people are saying, well, you shouldn't use tariffs, you know, against someone to influence national policy or national security or trade. We do it routinely with countries around the world, whether it's China, or we did it with Russia when they invaded Ukraine. We do it all the time, and we've done it throughout U.S. history. Economic tools are always used in order to do things that are favorable to a nation.
Yeah, I mean, look at what's with Iran, North Korea. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. I mean, you can't even list all of the different sanctions we have out there. You can call things sanctions, you call it tariffs. There's different use of words that accomplish different things, but it's an economic way to push your agenda forward. The U.N. Security Council does it too, which we are a permanent member of, with a full unilateral veto power of. But Than, you wanted to comment on Beto O'Rourke as well. I mean, this is someone, again, who's trying to jumpstart his Vanity Fair campaign. Is having a little bit tougher time since even the newest polls, which are interesting. We'll talk a little politics for a second here. Newest polls in Iowa showing Joe Biden's lead shrinking significantly in Iowa. Never really has performed well there. I mean, to say the least. He ran twice there and always did pretty horrendous, but came in with a much bigger lead. It's shrinking. It isn't Beto O'Rourke, though, who's coming up from behind. It's Elizabeth Warren and Mayor Pete. So you got people like Beto O'Rourke trying to hit the president, saying he's got – and he's a guy who came from – a congressman from a pretty near border city, El Paso area, saying that the president accomplished nothing here with this deal with Mexico.
Yeah, it kind of looking like a four-way race in Iowa, Jordan, maybe even five-way if Kamala Harris can move her numbers up just a bit. But you're right. I mean, Joe Biden not even there right now. I would watch those Iowa numbers closely. I think they may continue to shrink. But I just wanted to say, I mean, you mentioned that maybe Beto O'Rourke was just reading headlines and preparing for debates. I'm not even sure he did that, Jordan, because, again, we've said it before, but even that hostile New York Times article, it admitted that it at least sped up agreements that Mexico had agreed to make. And everyone knows that until actions are taken and the ink is actually signed, Jordan, then the promises don't mean a whole lot. So I'm not even sure Beto read the headlines, because if they did, he would have at least had to concede that the president got something more than nothing. So he better do more homework before the debate starts.
I think we may have to get into this tomorrow. We'll just put into our internal chat here through the radio broadcast that in an Economist YouGov poll, Joe Biden is down to a 12-point lead nationally. He's only at 27%. I will tell you something about Joe Biden and his campaigns in the past. That is not sustainable for a campaign like his and for a candidate like him. He had to come out and hold. I mean, of course, you could drop a couple points here and there kind of within margin of error. When you start having these massive swings downward, and if more polls start, we'll look to see in these next 24 hours if more polls are starting to see that kind of massive dip, just how out of touch he might be. Because as I heard when the Democrats were speaking in Iowa, he wasn't there. He's at, I think, a daughter's or granddaughter's graduation, so he had a reason not to be there. But every candidate basically got up and said, we can't have middle of the road, we can't play it safe, and that got a lot of applause from those Iowa voters. So we may get into that tomorrow on the broadcast. I do want to focus on this victory, though, on our border security. We had a lot of calls on it, 1-800-684-3110. Tim has been holding on, line one from New York. Tim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
Thank you. This is my question. Should our military and police departments along the Mexican border be formally meeting with Mexican military and police departments to determine the best plan and the proper number of Mexican border security needed to make this plan truly effective?
I think it was absolutely part of why the New York Times mischaracterizes the months of negotiations with, we got to the point where we said, okay, we know what we need from you, Mexico. So we figured out that the 6,000 troops number, remember, we're not talking about on our border, we're talking about on Mexico's southern border with these Central American countries, which is a much smaller borders than our southern border with Mexico. So here's the number we need. We may have negotiated that up from hundreds it started with, that they were only willing to send somewhere like 500 or 600 National Guard troops to up to 6,000 troops. So we got those negotiations done. Then it kind of stalled. President Trump makes the tariff threat. And then I'll go to Wes Smith on this. And then Wes, suddenly you've got these troops. Mexican legislators got legislation. The legislature's got to approve it. As President Trump says, doesn't expect them to stand in the way. If they do, the tariff threat is still there. But again, we're talking about a much smaller border. People need to remember which border we're talking about. This is Mexico securing its own border. It's not securing the U.S. border for us. It's securing its own southern border.
Yeah, the migrant problem is that people are coming from Central America in the United States, and Mexico has done nothing to stop them. The 6,000 troops on their border is a start. They may need more. The border is 581 miles long.
Yeah.
But what has happened in the past is that often their border stations are unmanned. People literally can walk through it, and there's no one there. Other times, they simply pass them through. I think what Mexico needs to do, they need to start with these troops. I think there probably is behind-the-scenes coordination between our Border Patrol and some of our military, and then the Mexican government towards the use of their military troops as well. Yeah. But they need to close their southern border.
Yeah.
They need to stop the buses. They need to corral the marching caravans and really help us out with this.
You're talking the border difference being the difference between about somewhere in the 500-mile range between two countries that Mexico borders on its southern border directly, Belize and Guatemala. Other countries utilize it too, though. And then our almost 2,000-mile border with Mexico on our southern border. So, I mean, it's a lot different. So 6,000 National Guard troops can do a lot. We'll be right back. Take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. Because of the many ACLJ members who stand with us, we've seen great success over the years as we engage in legal, legislative, and cultural issues that matter most to you and your families. The ACLJ is on the front lines when it comes to protecting your freedoms, defending Christians and their faith in this country and abroad, standing up for human life, battling big abortion, and working to cut off taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture, and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at aclj.org.
So, folks, you know what we've been talking about, which is this great victory diplomatically between the United States and for President Trump in dealing with Mexico after making this threat of a tariff, which would have started at 5% and gone all the way up to 25%. And there were even Republican senators saying maybe we're going to vote against the president issuing this tariff. I mean, they took him seriously. That's what I like about this president. He makes a threat like this, and even Republican senators know you better take him at his word. That Donald Trump is not bluffing. And the Mexican government, and listen, if you think so, ask Turkey, ask China, ask Iran, go around the world, ask North Korea even, if he's bluffing on these kind of issues. So what happened? Well, after months of negotiating with Mexico, within 2 days of after these tariffs threat being announced, Mexico reverses course quickly on how many troops, up to 6,000 of its own National Guard troops to secure its southern border, and is willing that if this doesn't work, to look at even further options the U.S. supports, like setting up, this comes from Mexico's own foreign minister, its own regional framework for asylum seekers. If you want to talk to us about this, give us a call now, 1-800-684-3110. The president, I mean, it is a tale of two cities, depending on what articles you read and where you get your news from. Even the Washington Post and New York Times had headlines that were vastly different. One saying president's controversial tactics work. The other saying Mexico had already agreed to this, nothing new to see here, and that the president had just created this to become a hero. That was just the Washington Post versus the New York Times. Again, we tried to cut through here and make people understand, of course, that negotiations and discussions occur between Mexico always and the U.S., but they weren't moving. They were stalling. Obviously, they'd come to a point where they were not moving forward, and the U.S., and the president realizes he's got to do everything he can on his own because Congress is not helping him to secure the border and prevent and to kind of stop the crisis, the humanitarian crisis at our border. So he put out that tariff threat, and that got the ball rolling very quickly. And let me play the soundbite again from our Homeland Security Secretary, who said, we've never seen anything like this from Mexico, the kind of numbers they have promised and put into agreement in writing and signed. Take a listen.
The president put a charge in this whole dialogue with Mexico, with the tariff threat, brought them to the table. This is the first time we've heard anything like this kind of number of law enforcement being deployed in Mexico to address migration.
You know, again, I just want you to understand that. Never have seen numbers like this. Never have seen numbers like this. That is a huge accomplishment right there alone from the president. And again, the Mexican government willing has already said that, you know, if this doesn't work, we'll take further steps. There's other options available. This is a big shift from Mexico. It also shifts long term, I think, Wes, then we'll get right to the calls, Wes, how we deal with Mexico, mm-hmm. because now we've got this new agreement where and this new relationship where we're understanding that, hey, we take this step, and if this doesn't work, we're not going to just blame you. We've got other options available that we can work together on.
Yeah, and we routinely do this kind of thing, as you mentioned, with other nations. Turkey is a NATO ally. We have used economic sanctions and tools to try and influence the policies that directly impact the United States. I think the president is to be applauded because he is doing what Congress has repeatedly failed to do, and that is he is taking the immigration crisis seriously. We need for Congress to do something of what Mexico is doing, and that is have comprehensive immigration reform. For example, a family that comes to the United States and crosses the border, if they're from Mexico, we can return them. If they're from anywhere else in the world, by law, our immigration law, we can't return them to their own country. We have the 20-day rule for children who come across the border, that we can't hold them longer than that. Last month, Jordan, 11,000 teenagers crossed the border unaccompanied. Congress needs to fix this as well as Mexico.
Here's what the New York Times got wrong. And the president just called in to CNBC on this New York Times article saying, well, they had already agreed to this Mexico months ago. Here's the president in his own words just moments ago. Take a listen to President Trump.
We talked about it for months and months and months, and they wouldn't get there. And we just said, hey, look, if you don't get there, we're just going to have to charge you hundreds of billions of dollars in taxes. And we would have been just fine.
So again, Than is exactly what we said. the negotiations were, yeah, I mean, New York Times is right to that point. What they forget is what was the action item that pushed Mexico over the line to take action. And it was, as President Trump said, the threat of economic tariffs. As he called it, billions in taxes on their goods that they would that could cripple their economy.
Yeah, eventually you had to move from empty promises to action. And I think the tariff threat is exactly what accomplished that, Jordan. And the piece of this that we haven't talked about as much is, you know, part of this agreement, if you are going to expand that Remain in Mexico program where asylum claimants actually have to return to Mexico to wait that out, you had to get a Mexican agreement to provide them humanitarian aid. That was something Mexico hadn't been willing to do. Jordan, that's a part of this as well. So if the flow is lower and they are providing humanitarian aid to those that we are returning at our border, it's really a win-win solution in the interim.
Yeah.
But Jordan, it took a push to get Mexico to sign on the dotted line, and the tariffs were that push.
Well, Julie has a call similar to that, and I think you can expand on it, Than. Julie in California on Live 4. Welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. Thanks for holding on, Julie. We'll get you a book signed. You're on the air.
Thank you, Jordan. I have two questions.
Sure.
First, I'm very glad to hear Mexico is finally considering being an asylum country. But why have they been refusing so far up to this point to be the first safe country? My second question is, Republicans who are against tariffs, I understand that they think it will cost Americans money, but in the long term, it costs us a lot more money in taxes to pay for illegal immigrants.
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, yes, tariffs hit the U.S. economy even when you're doing it to punish another country on a short term. Usually, it's only a short term, and things balance out. The Fed even changes the interest rates to balance it out. In fact, they've already talked about doing that with China, and it's changed how the whole stock market has responded to the tariff war with China, because the Fed can change the interest rates, lower the rates if necessary, or even discuss lowering the rates. So, long term, you were right about this issue. That yes, there's this short term a hit that you take, but second, long term, you're talking about millions and millions of new entitlements and new people and resources drained from the U.S. economy at the federal level, at the state level, at the municipal level, at the corporate level with hospitals and trying to provide services. So you're absolutely right. Now on this asylum issue, Than, you were just talking about that asylum issue, and Julie has a good question there. Why won't Mexico allow these folks to declare asylum there? Now, one of it is the reason is people don't want to declare asylum there. That's part one.
Yeah, the bigger reason in my view, Jordan, is that it's just expensive. It just is. It is expensive to be a compassionate nation like the United States has always been. But look, there are two parts of this, and they address both of them in this agreement. First of all, it's expensive to send 6,000 troops to its southern border to actually enforce it at the point of entry. But Jordan, it's also expensive if you grant asylum, or in this case, or if those asylum claimants have to stay in Mexico for a time, there is cost involved to provide them with humanitarian reasons. It was much easier for Mexico to just let them travel through and let the United States deal with it. But that problem has perpetuated. Hopefully this agreement will start to roll it back.
Folks, we got a lot of great information up at ACLJ.org. Let me also remind you, the ACLJ, and on this broadcast, Jay Sekulow Live, we don't just talk about these issues. We're working on them because of your support financially to the ACLJ and your donations, because you signed petitions, because you signed briefs. We're filing a brief in the Ninth Circuit tonight on the funding of the border barrier. So we've got that brief being filed. Many of you have signed on to that brief. We're also filing in a Title X Planned Parenthood case as well tonight in the Ninth Circuit, a Court of Appeals. All because of your support, the ACLJ, we're able to not just talk about the issues, but get involved. Go to ACLJ.org. Stay up to date on the issues. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It has been our mission for nearly 30 years. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're dedicated to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. There's not a better time for you to join the American Center for Law and Justice. By standing with us, you can make a tremendous difference in our country and our culture and the ongoing fight for freedom. Become an ACLJ member today. It's easy to do. Just go online, sign up at ACLJ.